In the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And Jesus answered his disciples and said, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Are we supposed to be analyzing this as we go along?
Thank you so much for tuning in and letting me in wherever it is you're watching me from. You're welcome to the Voice of Prophecy, a program that is meant to bring people and Jesus together. Once again tonight, we turn into the Word of God. Our topic tonight is experiencing the certainty of Christ's second coming. You're coming into this new millennium after so much hope in the previous year that this could be the year when Jesus Christ will come. And so far he hasn't come. I know out there that many people are discouraged. But I want to say to you, we need to experience the certainty of Christ's coming. There's somebody one day who picked up the Bible and began reading it, right from the book of Genesis. And as he got to chapter 3, and reached the point where it's recorded that God expelled man from the Garden of Eden, the man got discouraged, closed the Bible, put it aside, and began wondering what this book was all about. For it had a sad part of man being expelled from the garden. Then the thought came to his mind and said, wait a minute, why don't I get to the end of the book? And he turns to Revelation. God writes to the end of the book. And as you know, the last chapter book in the Bible is Revelation. And getting right to the very end, he didn't quite know how many chapters were there. So finally, he goes to chapter 22. And when he got to chapter 22, he decided to read the last two verses. And the last two verses read, He which testifies these things says, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Then the man said, I'm going to read this book right from the beginning to the end, because I know what the end is going to be like. I'm saying out there, don't lose heart. Jesus has not yet come, but he's going to come. And I want you to experience the certainty of Christ's coming. I want you to come with me to that favorite text of mine, and I believe it's a favorite text of many people out there. And this is John chapter 14. Verse 1 to 3. Jesus begins by saying, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I was going to tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. This is the promise of God. We live by promises. Employees depend on the promises the employers make. Students depend on the promises the teachers make. Spouses in marriage depend on what they say to each other. Whatever it is we do in life, we so much allude to promises. And some of us, as you are listening to me right now, are hurting because of having faced disappointment by broken promises. But I'm here to tell you, the promise of Jesus, where he says, I will come again, nobody's going to break it, not even Jesus himself. Because Jesus is not like man. Jesus is not like your boyfriend. Jesus is not like your husband. Jesus is not like your employer. Jesus is God. And the Bible says, God cannot lie. It may have taken some time, but the bottom line is, Jesus will come again.
Lift up the trumpet and loudly ring, Jesus is coming again. Hear us, the pilgrims, be joyful and sing, Jesus is coming again.
through the Bible. The coming of Jesus is talked about so many times. If you turn to reading the New Testament, over 300 times is mentioned the second coming of Jesus, giving us an average of every 25 verses, there's a mention of Christ's coming. The patriarchs, God's men of Bible time in the Old Testament, too, looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. So I'm talking about the certainty of Christ's coming. And I want you to experience this. I don't care of the disappointments you're going through. But I want you to get hold of those promises made by Jesus. You must also understand the fact that we're dealing with the faithful Jesus. The same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. So He has promised, I'll come again, and that promise is going to live by it. So don't be deceived by what is going on around. Don't accept the suggestive situation. You know, there are some situations in life, especially as we live in these days, it's kind of like unpopular to be a Christian. Because everything around us suggests that the devil has won the battle. But I'm here to declare to you, the devil is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ promised I'll come again, and He's going to come. And one of the reasons I strongly believe, my strongest conviction is based on the man Jesus. I'm yet to discover a promise that Jesus Christ has broken. All the promises I've read, Christ is actually fulfilled. And on that premise, I believe even this promise of His coming will definitely come to pass. And when I talk about Jesus being a man that never breaks promises, I'm not looking at Him just to be someone who healed. Do you know that even before Jesus Christ came into this earth, there were people who healed? If you read the Old Testament, you read about people like Elisha, people like Elijah. They even resurrected the dead. So, what Jesus did, others did before. But the reason I'm saying Jesus is different from them is that He died, He's alive, and He never died again. So, He is here to live forever, and His promise was there. Experiencing the certainty of Christ's second coming. I know there are many people there who may not be Seventh-day Adventists, but I know many people out there who are Adventists, who believe that Jesus will come. A friend of mine was telling me, as he flew in from Washington, he says, as I've left Washington, there's a fever, millennium fever. And some of you experienced that millennium fever at the dawn of this new millennium. All because of wondering, what next? And there were some people who even decided to become Christians. Because they did not know what is going to happen. And now that things have kind of like calmed down, cooled down, they've gone back to their old ways. I like to warn you. Don't go back. Don't stay away. Jesus, who said, I'll come again, is surely going to come. During Paul's time, as he was writing to the Thessalonian church, there was a problem among the believers there. And as they heard of this promise of Christ coming, they too were anticipating Christ coming, like we are anticipating. And to them, they thought that Christ was going to come, surely, in that day. As a result, they held on to this promise of Christ coming. But then gradually, they began to lose their beloved ones. Like today, almost actually every day, we bury many of our beloved ones. The roads to the cemetery today has become a busy road. Death rates have increased. And we begin to feel, really, is there any hope? You and me need not to lose hope, because Jesus is there for us. So Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and says, don't lose heart. Don't be ignorant. The people who are dying, they have to die because they are not immortal. And the fact that they died, that should not suggest they will not resurrect. As long as they die as believers, a day is coming where even us who are living will not go before them. You read this from 1 Thessalonians. It's a beautiful passage in Scripture. Chapter 4. Those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those of us that shall be found alive shall join them to meet the Lord in the air. So you may be hurting right now. You may even be having a funeral right now. Death, no matter, though it's a crucial thing, it's a hard thing, it's a painful thing, but I want to say to you, Jesus Christ has got the keys to every grave. And to those that die in His name, they are assured of leaving the grave when He shall come. To the believers, as you mourn, mourn with hope. Don't mourn as though you don't know that Jesus Christ has promised that He will resurrect the dead. And the basis of Christ's promise is because He says in Revelation chapter 1 that I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore. So we believe in a living Savior. And my talking about Jesus is simply to say to you, He is the best friend we can have. Death should not overwhelm us. I know, especially when the women lose their husbands, it's painful. There's always that statement, the breadwinner is gone. But I'm here to remind you, it's painful, I know. The breadwinner may be gone, but the witch grower is still there. God. You know, there's so many things that we take for granted. Because my husband is alive, it's him that provides the bread. It's him that has the power to do anything. But whatever it is we do, we have to. We depend on God. Whether we are conscious of the fact or not. That's why even up to date, man has no power to give life to another man. Even when people get into ICU, you will reach a point where the doctor has to just certify that person dead. Only God has life. And if we are not linked to Him, if we are not connected to Him, we are dead people. So though death may be painful, separation with our beloved ones may be painful, but that's no reason why we should give up Christ. Because He has promised. So on the basis that Jesus has the power over death, we should remain trusting in Him. We need not to be a people without hope. Ours is to be a people of hope. And I'm here to say to you, if we live as a people of hope, we shall be a source of great encouragement to many people out there who are hopeless. Although there's no need for anybody to be hopeless because Jesus has made Himself available to each one of us. When we mourn, let's mourn with faith. On the basis of that, I have the strength to tell you, take Jesus as a friend. Again, Paul had another problem. You know, in the Thessalonican church, there were people that were so obsessed with this second coming of Jesus to the point they said, well, if we're going to wait for Jesus, why don't we wait for Him in idleness? So they remained put, waiting for Jesus. I remember reading a book and this poetic writer had this said to say, we need to plan 100 years, but live 1 day at a time. There are so many people who take Christianity too far to a point where they become irrelevant. Christianity is not about making us irrelevant. Christianity is not it's about making us unproductive. If anything, the most dependable people should be Christians. So inasmuch as we're looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, counting on this blessed hope, it does not suggest we should not feed our families. It does not suggest we should not study hard. It does not suggest we should not work. I am here to say this country is filled with people of talent. And if we understand the fact that God can use us mightily, we can bring a lot of change. There are some people who are in need right now. You may even have some dependents in your home right now. Dependents. Not that they can't do anything for themselves, but their minds are conditioned that there's nothing they can do. As you listen to this program right now, I'm here to urge you that get out there and do something. Because even as we wait for Jesus, we don't need to wait in idleness. We need to wait doing something. So as we wait for Him, we wait for Him in glory, in the sense that we'll not be a liability, we'll not be a burden to other people. Christianity is about making us wholesome, making us a people who have talent and who actually realize those talents, so that God's name may be glorified. So Paul writes to them and says, look folks, I've heard in your midst there are people who have stopped working. And I say to such, if you don't want to work, no bread for you, no food for you. Because I have set an example to you. When I came down there in Thessalonica, you saw what I was doing. I was making tents. I did not depend on anybody. I did things for myself. And Paul, you know, was a mighty preacher. And Paul was a genuine Christian. But he did work. As he looked towards the second coming of Jesus. As he looked forward to that blessed hope. As we experience this certainty of Christ's coming, it simply means we need to be better people in all respects, all around it. As opposed to the people that will just say, well, since He's coming, I would rather stay like this. I am here to tell you that Jesus Christ wants you to look up, remain looking up, but do something. There's so much that is happening around us. We don't even need to lose hope. War will continue. All these fights will continue. Our lives will continue to be at risk and danger. But we have no reason to throw our hands in the air in hopelessness. Jesus Christ has promised that He is coming, and we need to trust Him. take him at his word. And to those that trust Jesus, to those that look forward to his coming, you will discover that your life will be enriched in many ways. You'll be profitable in all your doings. You'll be a blessing to the many people that you interact with, and you'll prepare many others to meet the Lord. Experiencing the certainty of Christ's coming means, no matter what happens to you, you won't give up on Jesus. No matter what the situation suggests, you look up. Even if you lost your job today, maybe a painful experience, but that's no reason to give up on the Lord. Even if you got so many blessings, you become wealthy, that's no reason to give up. Jesus is coming. Sometimes there's the feeling of saying he's taken long, but there's no reason for us to lose heart. He has promised he is coming, and we need to trust in him. The angels, you remember, they said, as he ascended that mountain there, he finally disappeared. And the angels came and says, "You men of Galilee, what is it that you gaze up into heaven? This same Jesus you see going up will come in the same manner." So the angels are adding on to the promise of Jesus. And Jesus Christ himself said it, "I will come again." Notice, he does not say, "I will send an angel." He says, "I will come again." Jesus Christ wants us to be where he is. There are some people who teach and say, "No, Christ has come." Others say, "He won't come." But I'm here to tell you, the strength of God's word, Jesus made the promise, and he's going to come. He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'm through, I'll come again." I want you also to understand the fact that God is not bothered about time. What may appear a long time to you, a long time to me, is nothing with God. Because God has been into the future. So he's not bothered about time. God knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future. So even when Christ says, "I'm coming," and we think it's taken long, it's not true. Because the bottom line, he is coming, he knows when. My friend, living. Looking for, believing in Jesus Christ and holding on to this promise of his coming will change your life. Heartaches will be reduced. Headaches will be gone. Because when things hit us, left, right, center, we have something to fall on. And that's on the promise of Jesus Christ. I understand the fact that Jesus Christ made that promise not only to his disciples, but even to me. We're able to smile at the storm. Though the economy is biting, we're able to. Though pressure lies, we're too able to say, "Yes, the pressure is coming on. But Jesus has promised that I'm coming. I'm coming." Stories have been told of fathers who have promised their children, who have taken voyages in long places, and promised their children they'll come. Or they get the messages of the fathers maybe having died in the sea and things are like. But this Jesus who has gone up into heaven will surely come. And I'm here to also tell you that he is equally anxious to come. Come with me to Revelation, the last chapter. And I want to read the 7 and 12 with you. A very, very powerful passage of scripture here. Revelation 22. And I want to read with you verse 7 and verse 12. And listen to what Jesus himself says. "To those that have a Bible that has got the red edition like mine, you discover the words are actually in red." In verse 7 it says, "Behold, I come quickly." Once again, it's the same Jesus who made the promise earlier on. He's saying, "I come again." In verse 12, again, he's saying, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." You notice also the fact that John, the one that wrote this book of the Revelation, on the island of Patmos, was a disciple of Jesus. And when Jesus made the promise, he was actually making the promise in John's hearing. So you can imagine the anxiety that John too had, looking forward to the coming of Jesus. By this time, most of the disciples, if not all, had died. And this was about 90 AD that John wrote the Revelation. 60 years later, after Christ had ascended. But John continued experiencing the certainty of Christ's coming. It should be your privilege, with this information, to live as a person with hope. It's dangerous to allow hope to be extinguished from your life, because then life will lose its meaning. Reading from the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25, that old prophet, a patriot of God, a man of God who was pressed with problems, talked about by the devil, he says, "Though my body will be eaten by worms though I am suffering like this, I know one day my Redeemer will appear in the cloud. And not anybody else shall see me but myself. And going back right to the book of Genesis where I started from, seventh from Adam is a man called Enoch. And this man called Enoch, the Bible says, he too talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. It's fascinating how God allows different situations so that to those that may fall short of one situation may be encouraged by another situation. We looked at the New Testament and we may be saying, well, maybe it's only the New Testament that talks about this. But even the Old Testament, in the book Jude, the second last book of the Bible, verse 14 and 15, listen to what the Bible says. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this thing, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This was Enoch. Way back, the Spirit impressed upon him, and in vision he saw the second coming of Jesus. He didn't die. The Bible says he was actually translated. He's in heaven right now. But he's here to tell us that don't lose heart. The years may have passed, but let's not lose heart, because my Jesus is coming. And we'll forever continue singing that song. Lift up the trumpet. Jesus is coming again. Millions of people have died with that hope. And I want you to be among those who remain faithful, holding on to this promise. If all other promises have shattered in your life, if your dreams have become nightmares, please hold on to this promise. I am coming again. It's your experience. It can be your experience, it can be my experience, to live the certainty of Christ coming. Though the wars may increase, crime may increase, but Jesus will surely come. No disappointment will overwhelm us to forget the fact that he has promised that he will come again. I want to challenge you and appeal to your hearts of hearts that you don't lose heart. You remain in God. And to those that have not had the privilege of accepting Jesus as their personal Savior, I'm here to tell you, Christ has his arms wide open. He wants you. He wants you to understand the fact that he's going to prepare a place for you. Very soon he's coming. Won't you accept him? So that even as you live in this life, you live this life of hope. If it's your desire to make Jesus your personal Savior, to make him your friend, and to join in the millions that sing the song, lift up the trumpet, Jesus is coming again. Why don't you bow your head with me as we pray?
Okay.